Last night, the Baltimore City Council introduced a package of charter amendments that would increase its power over city operations and over the mayor. WYPR's Emily Sullivan is here to tell us more. Emily, let's start with the legislation. Exactly how does the council want to change the status quo?
So we've got four proposed amendments to city charter. One, considering all of Pew's recent negative headlines, has gotten a lot of buzz. It's an amendment that would allow the council to remove a mayor with the approval of 3/4 of its members. The entire council asked Pew to resign earlier this month. But as the charter stands now, the choice to step down is entirely her own unless she's convicted of a crime. Councilman Christopher Burnett sponsored this change, and yesterday he said the intention behind it was pretty simple.
Seeking to repair the harm that has been done to Baltimore City and to reaffirm the trust that voters have in their elected officials, creating a more accountable, transparent, and more responsive government in City Hall. None of us are taking this decision lightly. This is uncharted territory for the City Council and for Baltimore City.
Another proposed amendment would reduce the number of voters needed to overturn a mayor's veto. The council currently needs a supermajority of 3/4. The amendment would make it 2/3. Moving on to the next one, as it stands now, the council can only cut funds from the city budget. Councilman Bill Henry introduced an amendment to change that. Here's how he explained it yesterday.
The council could add money to budget lines instead of just cutting.
He said the amendment is not as sexy as ousting a mayor, but is crucial in the way that it would spread power out.
Have more of it concentrated in the council, which is more directly responsive to the people of Baltimore City. We're the ones who get stopped in the grocery store and while walking our dog.
And finally, another amendment would create the position of a city administrator. That position would oversee the general operation of Baltimore. Most cities of Baltimore sizes have one to help carry out the logistics and day-to-day minutiae of the decisions made by their mayors, their city councils.
Has similar legislation been proposed in the past, or is all of this just in response to the Healthy Holly scandal and Mayor Pugh?
Actually, Councilman Bill Henry introduced really similar amendments just a few years back. His old veto bill passed out of committee, but it ended up dying on the floor within city council. He also previously introduced adding to the budget amendment. It passed through the council, but then Mayor Stephanie Rawlings vetoed it, which kind of ups the ante for the veto bill that he introduced.
In order for these charter amendments to move forward, they would have to be approved by the mayor. But can they even make it to the mayor's desk?
Right, that's correct. So a large majority of the council members support the proposals. Nearly every council member co-sponsored at least one of the reforms, like Councilwoman Mary Pat Clark. Clark does say, though, that she is a little worried about the amendment that would let the council boot the mayor.
I'm worried about that one. Look,
for
you've
got
to have somebody who's the boss of Baltimore. And that's the mayor, and the charter provides for that. What that means is that one person can be held accountable for how we spend the taxpayers' money and the positions we take. And so when you start chipping away at that control, you gotta make sure that you're not spreading accountability too thin to be accountability.
A few other council members have similar thoughts, but for now, the reforms do have enough support to keep rolling through the council's legislative process.
So when can Baltimore residents expect to hear more about these charter amendments?
If the amendments make it through several rounds in the council, they'll be sent to the mayor, who can sign or veto them. If signed, they'll go before city voters in the November 2020 election. And Bill Henry had this to say about the public's involvement.
We're going to be encouraging a year-long series of conversations about this. This is not something where we hope there will be a hearing and we'll pass it and then it'll go on to the ballot. As we've said, this has to be passed by the city voters. So we want to make certain that there are plenty of opportunities for people to come in, or maybe we'll even take this show on the road and have some hearings or work sessions out in the communities.
Suffice to say, these proposals can't pass behind closed doors.
And if the mayor vetoes these amendments, they could still go before voters if the council overrides the vetoes, but that would take the currently required 3/4 of the council to do, not the 2/3 majority vote that one of these amendments would require, right?
That's correct.
Emily Sullivan covers City Hall for WYPR. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Nathan.